I had a dream last night
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, Mary Parade are no strangers to a little alternative. Their last two records have been in our top 10 albums of the release year, and in 2018, their track Is Nowhere scooped our Song of the Year award, and last year, frontman Derek Sanders' solo EP The Heavy Box was our EP of the year as well. And on a personal note, 10 years almost to the day, they were my first gig back in 2014, and have been one of my favourite bands ever since. So with that in mind, Derek Sanders, Jeremy Lenzo, and Alex Garcia, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh my gosh, thanks so much for having us, and you said some really cool things.
We were your
The first.
Oh nice.
Yeah.
Where at?
Oh, it was the QMU on Monsters Overseas Tour.
Yeah, that's the university, right?
How's the tour going? It's yourselves, Simple Plan, State Champ. Seems like a pop punk party, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. It's been so much fun. We knew State Champs pretty well. We've toured with them a lot, you know, before this. But this is our first full tour with Simple Plan. We've met some of those guys on Warped Tour and things like that through the years. But it's been nice to get to know them better. They're just wonderful people, super kind and welcoming. And really everybody on the tour, I feel like, has been good vibes, lots of fun.
We've been cheering the bus with the State Champs guys as well on this run, and it's been a lot of fun getting to know them on a more personal level.
Kind of an interesting time for you guys. You've gone independent, three singles released last year. What was the thinking going behind that, and were you guys nervous going independent for the first time since what, 05?
Well, we definitely were nervous just because it's kind of a big task of like, you know, can we do this, and is it going to feel the same? I think a lot of it was just that, you know, at this point in our career and the way things work in the music industry, it felt like perhaps we could pull this off and put out music ourselves that still feels like it's at the same caliber of what we've done in the past. And then obviously, I guess it's nice to own the music that you put out. So that was kind of a big part of the driving force there behind that decision. I guess for the foreseeable future, we're going to keep trying to do things that way and see how it goes. Most of the labels we've worked with have been pretty open to letting us have pretty full creative control, but it is nice to just be able to have complete freedom to do whatever we want to do with our music and the rollout and the art, videos, everything, you know.
And obviously when we're the ones having to pay for it, having to, front everything. So it's a bit, you know, nerve-wracking, I guess. But I think at this point in our career, it makes sense for sure. So it's not as scary as it could have been. I mean, when we started this band, fronting it, owing money for like our van or for this pressing CDs and everything, that was a bit more like, okay, if we don't do this, then we're very screwed. Feels more like, well, we understand the business better.
You're elder emos after all.
Yeah, elder
that's
emos.
Right. That's right.
And you've mentioned in other places being a bit more intentional with your music releases. So for a while it was, right, it's October, every 2 years your Mayday Parade album comes out. Can you go into being a wee bit more intentional with your music?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough. I think it's a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of factors to it, but one of them is that, you know, we're all pretty busy both with the band and our personal lives. And so I feel like for us to have the time to get together in the studio and record music, it kind of needs to be meaningful. And I feel like we've been just trying to make sure that we spend the time and make sure that we're coming in with our best material. And like Alex said, especially now that we're like paying for that time ourselves, that's kind of even more like higher pressure of we want to walk away from this studio session feeling like it was really worthwhile. But it's, you know, a lot of us have families and kids now and everything, but we still haven't really slowed down much on the road. So it's just kind of difficult with scheduling for it to all make sense. I would love to get in more often and record more music and put out more music, but we're kind of trying to find the balance of everything that makes sense for all of them.
And the band's turning 20 next year, but also Black Lines turning 10 years old. A record which is, I see, is kind of a pivotal point in your guys' career, because you could have just done a less than romantic self-titled Monster in the Closet, but you took the risk with Black Lines. Mm-hmm. That's turning 10. How do you guys feel about the record now, and how do you compare the 10 years since to the 10 years before it?
It's crazy to think about that. That's like the halfway point. That'll be...
I love that record. I don't think a lot of our fans enjoyed that record, but personally, I love that record.
At the end of Monsters in the Closet, I think we, at the time, we enjoyed that record and everything, but I think looking back on it, when we were making the choice to do Black Lines, we felt we had kind of gotten in like a bit of a rut, because self-titled and Monsters in the Closet felt very similar. We wanted to push ourselves, and especially like we had, I think a big change for us was we did a Punko's 90s, we did a cover of Bush's Come Down,
yeah.
And I feel like we did that in the studio that we did Tales Told by Dead Friends, and in our Valdosta EP, and I feel like the way that we recorded it, the vibe, that all that whole experience was like, wait a second, we are a rock band, guitar forward, we really wanted to translate that in our records. And I think Black Lines, I mean, I remember leaving that whole session being like, very proud of what we had done, and though it was different, being like, right, you know, secure enough in our career to do that, but also understanding that it was a big departure. To Gabby's point, I think, you know, not a lot of our fans love that record, but, you know, I think everyone in the band actually really does still.
I think it's probably your most important record. It's completely different, and you've taken bits from it, and you can see that sprinkled throughout Sunnyland, throughout What It Means to Fall Apart as well.
Well, one of our most successful record is Lesson of Romantics, and I think Brooks actually pointed this out years ago, and he pointed out that it's on Lesson of Romantics, a song like Black Cat, was extremely popular, and so too was Miserable at Best. And they're wildly different songs, obviously. We got fortunate, I don't know, it's the nature of this band, and we're lucky for it, is that our fans can kind of stomach a lot of our genre shifting and a lot of our choices to kind of go sort of country-esque with like Hold On to Me or something like that, or Broken Things off of the self-title. But we can also go like more rocking, like I feel like Let's Be Honest or Hollow on Black Lines can be like that, or we can be have strong ballads like Miserable Master. Terrible Things.
Another record that I feel unfortunately hasn't got a massive chance to sign, just with all the anniversary tours and vinyl represses and all that, was your most recent one, What It Means to Fall Apart. Any strong memories from making that record, and any tracks that you'd wish you'd be able to play live more often than you do?
Yeah, I love a lot of that album. The song One for the Rocks and One for the Scary is one of my favorite songs yeah. we've ever recorded, and we played it on Sad Summer, I guess 2022. And that's the only time I've ever played that song live, and I think it went over really well, but I wish that was one that did well enough that it felt like something we could make more of a staple track in our set. There's a handful I like a lot. I like a lot of the ballads. That album, I feel like, same as a lot of the albums before, we continue to kind of push ourselves and push our boundaries, and a song like Bad at Love feels like something more in the pop, you know, mainstream radio world that we'd never done before. And Heaven, the song yeah. Heaven was very sort of experimental, and I just want to continue to do things like that. And I feel like, as much as, you know, going back to Black Lines, I'm very proud of Black Lines and I love that album. I think I would have done maybe some things a little different in hindsight, and I guess that's kind of where I feel like we're sort of at now. I think that it's important for us to maintain the core Mayday Parade kind of sound, but while at the same time, you know, branching out and pushing ourselves and being experimental. And that's sort of the balance that I like a lot and want to continue to approach music that way.
That's something that I feel like happens a lot, though, is that each record is kind of a reaction to the past, the record right before it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, certainly Self-Titled was a reaction to Anywhere But Here.
Yeah.
And Black Lines was to Monsters in the Closet. I think Sunnyland was to Black Lines.
Right.
What It Means to Fall Apart, I feel like we kind of wanted to combine, as Derek is pointing out, those elements of like experimenting with pop or whatever, but also at the end of the day, while we're five completely different opinions and five different people with different tastes, where we do meet in the middle is that what you term like our pop rock, well, the reason why we
yeah.
fit into this bill.
Yeah.
And I also think it's like our writing style, because we all write individually. I think it really shows itself in the music, and I think that in itself kind of makes Mayday Parade what it is. The reason, like you were saying, we can do songs like sort of the country sort of ballads and do the heavy songs.
It's a little bit of everything.
It's a little bit of everything that kind of makes, you know, our band what it is. So.
And finally, I have to ask, you have them on the horizon? 2024, early 2025?
Well, yeah, I guess we're kind of in the middle of figuring all that out. We have, you know, studio time booked. It's difficult to say at this point when that'll all happen, or even really how it's going to happen, but we'll have new music out, definitely songs out, new songs out this year. and an album announced and released at some point in the, you know, not too distant future. Yeah.
Derek, Cabbage, Alex from Mayday Parade, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.